We're on the top of Daf Ayin Chesamid Beis. Rabbi Yochanan, on the bottom of Ayin Chesamid Aleph, had interpreted the Reisha of our Mishnah, Hasocher Sachamor Lolicho Bahar Volicho Bebika, Bebika Volicho Bahar. The Mishnah establishes that he's Chayav because the renter violated the terms of the agreement. He was meant to take the Chamor up the mountain and he took him down to the valley, or vice versa. And Rabbi Yochanan attributes the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Meir, who holds Kol HaMavir Al Das Balabayis Nikra Gazlan, which means that if a person violates the will and the condition stipulated by the owner, he becomes automatically a Gazlan who's Chayav in Onsen, which means whatever happens to the animal, he has to pay for it. And since in our Mishnah he violated the Das Balabayis, he took him the wrong way, up the mountain or down to the lowlands, he's considered a Gazlan, he's Chayav Ba'onsim, and therefore the Mishnah makes no distinction as to whether the animal died because it was slippery or it died because of overheating in the lowlands, slippery in the mountains. It matters not. Whatever happened, that's an automatic chiyuv according to Rabbi Meir. The seifa, on the other hand, is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan never accepted the principle of Hamashana Midas Baal Bais Nikra Gazlan. And therefore the Mishnah differentiates between death as a result of the heat of the lowlands or death as a result of slipping down the mountain. Now, our sugi here on Ayin Ches on the Beis, beginning here on the top of the page, wants to decide, Hi, Rabbi Meir, which Mishnah is a reflection of this principle of Rabbi Meir, namely, Hamashana Midas Baal Bais Nikra Gazlan. And now the Gemara is going to investigate a number of possible candidate sources for this Mishnah. Ilema, if we'll say it's Rabbi Meir, Ditzaba, Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah towards the end of Bava Kama Daf Kuf, was of the opinion that if you give wool, natural undyed wool, to a dyer, that's called a tzaba, and the commission was to dye it red, and instead the dyer dyed it black, or vice versa, he's considered a gazlan. Hanosein tzemer latzaba litzvolo adam. If he commissioned the dyer to dye the wool red and he dyed it black, tzavuch shachar, or the opposite, shachar v'tzavu adam, in any event, he dyed it a different color, he was consigned to a certain color and he changed it. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that since the tzava violated the will of the balat semer, the owner of the dyer violated the will of the owner of the wool, therefore he becomes a gazlan. A gazlan is kone the tzemer, v'nosein lo dmei tzamro, and he has to pay in order to compensate the owner the value of the raw natural wool, because that was the moment in which he made his kinyan gzela. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda there in the Mishnah Daf Kuf in Bava Kama disagrees, and he holds that the change of the color on the part of the dyer does not constitute an act of gzela. He still remains a worker who should be paid to some extent for the work that he did, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda applies the principle of Yad Hatzaba Al Hatachtona. In other words, in the two variables as to whether or not the tzaba has rights to collect shvach, which is the appreciation of the value of the wool, because out there a dyed wool, no matter what color it is, can fetch some sum of money, or yitzia, which means the amount of money that the tzaba expended, he spent on creating this dyed wool, the tzaba could always demand the lower of those two prices. So it always goes against his interest. So im hashevach yeser al yitzia, if the upgrade, if the appreciation in value supersedes that of the expenditures, which is probably the case, is nosin lo es hayitzia. The tzaba can only collect, he only has rights to be paid to offset his expenditures. But im hayitzia yisera al hashevach, if let's say the increment in the value was limited, and on the other hand, the yitzia, the amount of money he spent, was that much greater, nosin lo es hashevach, the tzaba could only collect the lower variable, the lower number, that is the increment. And perhaps since Rabbi Meir in this Mishnah is of the opinion that the tzaba, once he violates the will, the commission of the Baal Bais, he becomes a gazlan, so too in our Mishnah, in the case where the renter was meant to take the animal up the mountain or down in the valley and he did the opposite, that shinui constitutes a gzela, an act of gzela, which engenders a chiyuv onsim. So the Gemara now suggests that Rabbi Meir of Tzaba is not in any way comparable to the Mishnah of lo licho bahar vo licho bebika, because dilma shiny hosim, perhaps the case of the tzaba is different. The kanya b'shinui ma'aseh, there's an actual physical change in the animal. I'm sorry, in this case the wool, whereas in the animal there's no physical change. The physical change in the wool, by virtue of the fact that it was now dyed red and it looks totally different than what it was meant to be, dyed black, or for that matter black or red, is much different than the natural color of the wool. That's why Rabbi Meir insists that there's halacha of gzeli here. That's called shinui. That yukone, the gazan is kone b'shinui when he changes the object from what it is. It's no longer the same object. And that has nothing to do with the case of a renter who is paying rental fees for the donkey and he made a change. Either instead of taking it up, he took it down and so forth and so on. He did not actively change the goof, the physical body of the chamor, and therefore a mayor would agree that there's no basis here for a kinyan shinui, a kinyan gzela, to engender a chiv ba'onsim. So the shita, the principle of Rabbi Meir as formulated in the Mishnah of Tzava, would in no way lead us to draw the conclusion that likewise in our case of Har and Bika, he should be paying for all onsim. We have to find, therefore, a different alternative source for the Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah. Ella, ha Rabbi Meir, the Migbas Purim. What do we do with the funds that are collected for the Purim campaign? The Sanya, the Brisa, records a machlokes about these funds. Can they be channeled in this direction or in that direction? Do they have a very specific limited use? And the Braisa begins by telling us that Migbas Purim Lipurim, meaning the monies that are collected by the Gaboyim, the Gaboy Tzedakah, for the sake of Purim, that means to facilitate the ability of the poor people to eat and set up a Suda's Purim, should be completely dedicated and given for the poor people for Purim. They should not be diverted for other kinds of expenditures. Even though in general, perhaps the halacha is in most tzedakah, we're allowed to change them from one mitzvah to another mitzvah, but in the case of most Purim, mitzvahs Purim, the monies have to be given for the purpose of ribui simcha on Purim, and they cannot be diverted in any other direction. The Rosh points out here that even if there's a large sum of money that's been collected, it all must be given and directed for Sudas Purim. That's called Migbas Purim Lipurim. And if there's extra money, apparently we'll allot it for next year's Sudas Purim if we don't need it this year. But it's got to be, in a very singular, exclusive way, used for Sudas Purim. A similar halacha applies to Migbas Ha'ir. If the monies were collected by Gaboy Tzedakah on Purim. That's the way Tosfos says it here, Dibri Maskel Migbas, for the purpose of the poor people of this particular city, then they should be earmarked exclusively for the poor people of this city and not used for poor people elsewhere. Then the Brisa says, V'ein Migdagdikim Badovar. Now, what does it mean, Ein Midagdikim Badovar? So we'll look into Rashi, Dima Maskil V'ein. Rashi says, Lomar Dayon Bipochos V'amoser Yipolikis Sholt Stoker. We don't say that, look, we allotted enough, a large enough sum of money so that they can use that money for Tzorchei Suda, and if that's sufficient money, there are extra surplus monies that could be used in the general community chest and the Kup of Shel Tzedakah for other purposes. Avolokhin es ha'agolim v'shoktin osam, but rather the monies should be earmarked exclusively for buying a calf, a cow, whatever it might be, and slaughtering it, eating it on Purim. V'amosar yipol l'kis shel tzedakah. If there's extra, v'amosar me'abosar shelo yaspiku lechol b'purim. There's so much meat that they cannot eat it on Purim. So yipol hamos, the money will be given to the kis shel tzedakah. And the Ramban interprets that kis shel tzedakah here in this context means for next year's Purim. Rabbi Eliezer omer migbas Purim lefurim v'ein ha'oni rashoy likach mem ritzua l'sandal. The monies that were received by the poor people for Sudas Purim should be used exclusively for Sudas Purim. And the ani, the poor person, is not allowed to use them for other purposes. And even likach mehem ritzua l'sandal, even if he needs an extra strap to tie the shoe down to his, to attach it to his foot. And this would seem to be an extension of what we saw in the resha of the brisa, that not only do we as collectors, Gaboy Tzedakah, have to guarantee that the money is earmarked for Sudas Purim, but the Aniyim themselves, even on the receiving end, they are the recipients of this money. They have to make sure that the money is used for Sudas Purim and not for any other purpose, no matter how justified and significant that purpose is. There is, however, one exception to the rule, and that's what Rabbi Eliezer says, Elim Kain Hisna B'mamad Anshe Ha'ir. If a condition was made together with or in the presence of and accepted by the Tuvei Ha'ir, the representatives of the city who are in charge of all in Yoni Tzedakah, is then they can make a T'nai that if there's money left over, they can use it for their own purposes. Now, the next part of the Brisa is what's most relevant to us, because again, as you know, we're trying to find a source in Rabbi Meir for this principle of Kol Mishana. And Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Meir that this is what was said in the name of the Tana and Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, it's Rabbi Meir who's presenting what he considers a unanimous vote, that monies for Purim have to be earmarked exclusively for Purim. Rav Shimon Gamliel Mekil, the one who argues on the other side of the scale, is Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's of the opinion that the Gaboi Tzedakah and the Aniyim are allowed to use the monies in any way they choose. They're not exclusively earmarked for Sudas Purim. And those who donated these monies are not makpid, they don't care, as long as the money is being used, because that's what they want. That's what they want to happen with their money. They want it to be used for tzedakah for the aniyim. They're not so strict and limited that it's got to be in this box and only in this box. In any event, we see that Rabbi Meir, in his recording of the various shitas that he has in mind, has established that the ani who receives the money is not allowed to change from the Das Bala Bayis, which according to this school of thought is exclusively for Purim. And that would reflect very well on the Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to change the conditions that were stipulated by the Baal Bais who's renting you this animal, and he wants it to be up on the Bikkur, down in the Har, or I should say up on the Har and down in the Bikkur. I already made a Shinui. Is if he does make such a Shinui, that then he's considered a Gazlan. And the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, Dilma Hasam Nami, there too, in the case of the collection of monies for Purim, the reason why Rabbi Meir is very careful not to allow for any change is that Daita de Purim Yahavule, Adaita Midi Achridi Lo Yahavule. That in the case of the donors, they want the money to be used in the way that they earmarked and specified the money. Their mindset was that this was a collection for Purim. They wanted to be used for Purim and not for anything else. And therefore, the monies of tzedakah become monies which are, shall we say, mukzakim. They're in the possession of the donors, and the donors are stipulating exactly how they should be used. They want it exclusively for Purim, and therefore any change thereof would constitute a gzela, because again, the mukzakus here, the one who's really possessing this money, is the donor. Now let's just compare that to our Mishnah. In the case of the renter who violated the terms that were set by the owner, and he chooses the wrong route, as long as there's no danger when he brings it up to the Har and he's watching it carefully, or he takes it down to the lowlands, you're not going to be able to say that the owner of the chamor in this case intended dafkas. It was absolutely square and singular for him that it's got to be used in this traveled route, but not in a different route, up the mountain and not down in the lowlands. Then we don't have to say that the renter in that sense was a gazlan. Again, he did violate the terms of the rental agreement, but he's not a gazlan in the sense that the renter was only interested in this and nothing else. I mean to say the Baal Bais was interested in this and nothing else. Ella, let's try a different possibility in order to pin down Rav Meir and his source. Elohad Rabbi Meir Desanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Mishum Rabbi Meir Hanosein Dinar Le'oni Likach Lo Chaluk. He designates a dinar for a poor person to buy a cloak. Lo Yikach Bo Talis. He should not violate the will of the donor and use the money to buy a talis. Or a talis lo yikach bo chaluk, v'bnei shemavir al daito shel baal habayis, because he's violating the terms of the donor. And in this case, what we're saying is that the donor wanted him to use the money for one particular purpose and not for another purpose. This would seem at first glance to be exactly parallel to a Meir and a Mishnah, that you cannot change and violate the terms as it was they were set by the Baal Bais. So the Gemara again rejects it. V'dilma shani hasam the asu l'michshadeh. There's a special reason why the Ani has to be super careful, and that is because we're worried about the spectator. Other people might be choshe the Baal Bais, the Amri Inshi, Omar Planya. He said to so-and-so that Zvinole Levusha Laplanya Ani, that go buy a cloak for the following Ani, the specific Ani, Velo Zavinle, and at the end it wasn't bought for him. So it looks like somebody is embezzling the money that was earmarked for tzedakah. Inami Zavina Zavnina Le Glima Velo Zavinle. That so-and-so said, buy him a glima, like some sort of a shirt or a talis, velo zavile, and at the end he didn't buy it for him. So the Gemara says, no, that rejection is not a proper dechia. Why? Imkain, if the reason is because of the chashad, that people suspect the Baal Bais that he didn't really come through with his promise, his commitment, is listening ibn a chashad. somewhere the Braisa should have mentioned that the problem here is chashad, suspicion. My, why does he use the language of mavir al daito shel balabayis? The answer is, Shmam, you know, we can derive from this that the reason why the Ani has to be very careful is because mishum deshanile, because he is violating the will of the balabais who gave this money, and that's an exact parallel to our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, that if the renter was told specifically to bring the mountain, to bring the animal up the mountain, he brought it down in the valleys, that is a shinu midas balabais. Now the Mishnah goes on to tell us, Hasocher sachamar vivrika omer lo areishal cholofanecha. So what is this vivrika all about? My vivrika. And the Gemara answers the following: Hacha targimu nahorisa. Here in Bavel, the interpretation of hivrika is nehorisa. And what this means is a certain disease which is called barkis, or hivrika is the verb of barkis, and in Aramaic it's known as nehorisa. And what kind of an illness is this nehorisa? And why is it a case of hareishal cholofanecha? And the answer is because nehorisa means some sort of partial damage, but it's not complete. Meaning the animal is not blind. There's some sort of a partial blindness. He calls it here a yiria hamechases ishana ayin. There's some sort of a cataract or some sort of a covering over the pupil of the eye. And eino yochel liros karoy. It's not a perfect sight. But again, the animal is not totally blind. If the animal is totally blind, it can't do any malacha, then it would be like the case of shvura mesa, where the owner of the animal would have to replace that deceased animal with a healthy animal for the purpose of the rental agreement. But rather, we're talking about a case where there's a partial blindness, and there are still malachas that the animal could do, so that the renter could certainly gain from this rental agreement, despite the deterioration of the health of the eyesight of the animal. Rav has a different interpretation of vehivrika. He says it comes from the word avzekes. Avzekes is a kind of a deterioration in the animal's legs. And this is a result of, he calls it tolas rikavam, which means worm infestation. In other words, the tolaim are attacking the animal, the donkey's legs, and as a result, the animal, to some extent, is not able to walk properly. But again, the animal is able to walk, but not exactly 100%, far from it. And the Gemara now tells a story about this avzekes, dahu diomer lahu avzekes bimilsa demalka. The case was that somebody came forward to sort of tattletale to the king's officers and tell them that I saw moths that were eating up the garments, the silk garments of the king. As if to say someone in the entourage of the king, in the king's army of officers was derelict. Amulei b'mai. Okay, they tested him to see if he's telling the truth. They said, what did these moths eat up? Ha'im, did they eat up bitlei kesef, which means linen garments that are white like silver. They had white silver in that day, like we have today. O bitlei dahav, or was it woolen garments that were dyed red, a reddish kind of goldenish color? And Ika Diamri Bitlei Kesef Omar. Some say that his answer was that he saw that these linen garments were being attacked by the moths. And as a result, they figured out that he was a liar, a no good liar. Uktalua, they actually put him to death for this fabrication and this libel against the court officers of the king. Because in fact moths do not attack linen garments. And we'll see why in just a second. But Ikadiyami, others say Bitlei Dahav Omar Vishivkua. Others say that he said he saw the moths eating up these golden or reddish woolen garments, and they let him go because he was not lying. And basically what we have here is a principle about moths. You know, something, shall we say, that belongs to the realm of science. That apparently moths will not eat flax garments. And this is the way that they were able to figure out that the man was lying. In the second interpretation, golden garments or reddish garments, they let him go because they perceived it as if he was telling the truth. He wasn't fabricating anything at all. Now, before we see the Ritva's explanation, I just want to point out that Tosus Dibra Masel B'Milsa offer two different girsos. He says like that. Some say it's Mulsa de Malka, which means they saw the Avzaka as Avzekes B'Prodos Shel Hamelef V'Shalu Imra B'Tlei Zav or B'Tlei Kesef Klomar B'Prudos Adumos Olivanos. They were asking him about the which animal was actually attacked by these moths, whether it the red mules or the white mules. And the Ram Shif explains that why did they put this guy to death when he said that he saw the moths attacking the white mules. Again, that's according to this Girsa. And the answer is because there are no toloim, there are no worms that attack the white mules. The Aruch interprets that we're talking about Shomrei Bigdei HaMelech. There were those who were paid to guard the royal wardrobe to make sure that they wouldn't be eaten by attacked by moths. And in this case, there was an accusation against these Shomrim that they were not doing their job. Now, according to another Girsa, the answer that this man gave was that he saw the moth eating linen garments. Okay, not like we said before, which kind of a mule is attacked by these moths, but which kind of garment. And they knew, he says the following, he says, "They shebepshia irolokach, she'ein derech ash lechol bigdei pishtan." Wow. He says that it's just a rule of nature that the moths do not attack these linen garments, and then garments if they knew he was fabricating. Now some say that his response was, when they asked this question, that the moths were eating up the woolen garments. And in that case, Bigdei Tzemer Darkom Li Rokev. It actually is a natural phenomenon, a natural process for woolen garments to slowly deteriorate. The Ravid says that Avzekes v'milsa demalka means Olu tipe chaluda v'bigdei hamelech b'chutei hakesef o hazav ha'orig bohem. So we're talking about a certain kind of oxidant, maybe it was oxidized, it was rusty, and these begadim were no longer fit for use in the royal palace. But he says bechute kesef im lo minarim os of shomrim olafu malach haluda. In the case of this silver colored garment, if you don't prepare this well and protect it by shaking it out and so forth and so on, then the haluda, the rustiness, will come in. And according to this particular interpretation of the Ravid, the reason why they put him to death is because he did not guard the royal garments properly, and as a result, they were attacked by this phenomenon called chaluda, of rust, you know, rusting with time. And although in the case of Zahav, that's, it doesn't usually get rusty, but in the case of Kesev, it does. And that's why they were responsible. So in other words, if we take it one way, this man was being questioned about the royal wardrobe, and the question was whether or not there was some element of negligence here, and that seems to be this very last interpretation. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Oshenases Angaria, Omer lo harei shalchol fanecha. This Angaria was the gave the rights to the king's officers to confiscate, if necessary, any donkey that they needed for the purpose of Avodas HaMelech. We discussed this in the last year. And they confiscate different animals of passers-by over the course of a certain period of time until they return it to its rightful owner. And in general, this group of officers called Angaria, they confiscate a donkey of a person. It's used in the king, you know, for the king's service. And then at some point they return the animal, and the owners will travel, so to speak, behind this whole entourage of the Sari HaMelech, following them, you know, donkey behind donkey, in order to hopefully when the Sarim will get to wherever they have to go, they will return the Chamor to its rightful owner. Now here we have Machlok Shin Rav and Shmuel about what exactly is the case in which the renter has a right, the Baal Bayis who gave them the Chamor has the right to say Harei Shalchol Fanecha. Rav says, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'angaria Choseres. If this situation of confiscation is temporary, then the Baal Bayis has a right to say, you know what, you'll be able to get benefits and use this rented animal. You just have to be patient and wait till the Angaria will be returned. Avol Angaria she'ena choseres. Let's say, for example, this is the way Rav understands it, if the donkey will not be returned to the renter in this case before the term of rental has already passed, has already terminated, then from the renter's perspective, he's going to get no benefit whatsoever from this donkey. It's like the donkey died. And therefore, Rav says, Chayv lahamid lo chamor. He's got to replace this chamor with another chamor, as we saw in the Mishnah in the case of Shrua Mesa. So Rav interprets this Mishnah in such a way that Angaria is not going to completely undermine the use and the benefits that the renter could get from the object during the course of his term of rental. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, I don't want to accept that distinction of Rav between Choseres and Eina Choseres, but rather Bein Angaria Choseres, Bein Angaria Sheina Choseres, whether or not it will be returned within the framework of and the course of time of the Schirus back to the socher, there were two ways in which the officers of the king would confiscate animals. One was on the derech, and one was back in the barns, so to speak. So let's go through the two cases. Shmuel says the following: if it was a case of a derech, meaning the officers of the king would look around in the roads and so forth and see who was traveling on the roads, then Omer, then the maskir, the owner of the chamor, has a right to say Harei Shalchol Fanecha. This is your problem. In the language of Chazal, Mazlecha Goram, you were the one who caused this situation. And why is that? Because you know what? You will tag on and travel behind the king's entourage of officers, And as soon as they finish using the chamor to get wherever they have to get to, or to carry whatever burdens they have to carry, they'll immediately return to you the chamor. So therefore, reishol chol fanecha. I mean, you have the chamor. But in lav v'derech halichas nitla, if these collections or confiscations were made not in the derech, not on the road, but rather they went in a house-to-house search, and they decided to take this chamor, then the renter is not responsible for this. You can't tell me, well, he took the chamor out on the derech, he was on his way, he was using the chamor. No, the chamor is just sitting in the corral, in his backyard. In that case, chayav, the maskir, the owner, lahamid lo chamor acher. He's got to replace the first chamor, which was taken by the king, and confiscated, with a second chamor. Now Rashi and other Rishonim point out that when Shmuel says that the Baal HaChamor has the right to say Rachel Chavanech because the troops took it as the animal was traveling, that's only if the renter was going in that same direction. However, let's say, for example, the troops of the king were going in the opposite direction, then for sure the renter gets no benefit whatsoever. It's like the case of Mesa or Shmura. Now, Tosus here adds another point. This is Dibra Maschil Im, which you'll see on the bottom of the daf. And that is that according to the terms of this rental agreement, it would seem that according to Tosus at least, the renter should not have to bear the expense of a second rental, which means that if the renter is traveling along the pathway, you know, following this whole entourage of the king's people in order to get his donkey back, in the meantime he's going to have to rent a second donkey in order to get there. You know, today we have insurance companies that offer you what's called rechev chilufin, that, you know, as long as your car is being fixed or it was totaled in an accident, whatever it is, they will give you and pay for a replacement automobile that you could drive around in up until the time that your automobile is completely fixed and returned to you. So therefore, Tosus thinks that that's the responsibility of the maskir, of the one who's renting out his animal, that if the socher is going to get, he's going to have to rent another animal to get back the first animal, that doesn't make sense that the maskir should be off the hook on that. I mean, what benefits does the renter have? In any event, Tosus talks about what I mentioned before, that there's a second way in which these emissaries of the king would confiscate animals, and that would be in a house-to-house search for animals. And what happens is that if the animal was confiscated on the road, then the maskir has the right to say reishol chol fanecha, and you'll see this in the first of the wide lines at the bottom of the Omer. Tosus says amalei mazlcha goram. It's your bad luck. And how do I know this? Because ilu haya b'bayis, lo haya niteles. In other words, they were making a house-to-house search, and they didn't come to our house, meaning to your house. They only caught your animal on the road. Had it been in the house, it wouldn't have been taken away. So you inadvertently, not deliberately, played a role, a contributive role, in the ultimate confiscation of the animal. And that's the reason why the maskir could say Reishol Cha Lefanecha. Tosus points out, Delo Domi LeMesa DeHocha Muchach DeMazlcha Didei Gorim. In the case of Mesa, there's no reason to assume that it was the renter's bad luck that caused the death of the sudden, untimely death of the donkey. But here we have objective proof to indicate that the donkey would not have been confiscated had not been for the fact that the renter took the animal out there on the derech. In any event, this is going to be the sugya of the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara is now going to try to prove that Rav's shita is correct based on a brisa, namely that it all depends upon whether this is a temporary situation or it was a permanent situation. Meisve, the brisa says asocher es hachamar vehivrika. In other words, the renter is stuck with an animal that's ill, and it has some sort of covering over its eye, and it cannot see. Osha nishtatisa, or the animal became a shota, became deranged, and he can't ride it. It went wild, the animal. But on the other hand, with a great deal of effort, you can have the animal at least carry it, although you can't ride it, because that would be too dangerous. You might get thrown for a very bad loop. But what you can do is, if you watch the animal carefully and straighten it out, you can put burdens on the animal's back. And in those cases where the animal that was given to the renter is still functionable, it still could contribute to the renter could still benefit, Omer lo, the maskeh has right to say to the socharei shelcha lefanecha, Mesa, if the animal died, we already know that that means that the maskeh is going to have to replace it, Oshenases angaria, or the animal was confiscated by the king for the king's service, then chayev lahamid lo chamor. The maskeh is responsible to find a replacement. And bishlem l'rav, according to Rav, this is very good. Lo kasha. Rav has no problem over here. Kan bangaria choseres, kan bangaria sheina choseres. Where does the Mishnah establish that the maskeh has the right to say areishal kol fanecha? That's in angaria choseres, only a temporary situation. But in the brisa where the maskir is obligated to replace the animal, that's a case of angaria shena choseres, because now at this point the socher admittedly has no benefits whatsoever. He cannot enjoy or implement any of the renting reasons, the reasons why he rented. Elo l'Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, says that whether or not it's angaria choseres or eina choseres, the same din applies, and it all depends where it was confiscated, etc., etc. So how could it be, according to Shmuel, that the Braisa would make any distinction between eina choseres and choseres? I mean, it all depends upon, if it's b'derech halicha or it's lo b'derech halicha, as we discussed. So the Gemara says, "V'chi tema." Perhaps we can make an attempt at reconciling this price with Shmuel Shita by saying, "L'Shmuel nami lo kasha," because kan b'derech halichasa nitla, v'kan shelo b'derech halichasa nitla. Shmuel was only willing to let the masker off the hook because it was on the way, so to speak, afen ved, meaning the socher could follow the entourage of the king towards his own destination as they carry the donkey, and they'll soon replace the donkey. But in this last brisa, shaloba derech halichasa nitla, being the animal was being led by the entourage of the king in the opposite direction of the planned journey of the socher. And that would be a perfect reconciliation of this brisa with Shmuel. But the Gemara rejects this. Ha midiktani seifa. The seifa of the brisa says that Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer in b'derech halichasa nitla. It was taken in the same, it being carried away in the same direction. Omer lo areishal chalfa nechvim lav. But if it was in a different direction, chayev lahamid lo chamor, he's got to replace the owner. I mean, has to replace the animal with a different animal. Michlal dulatanakama lo shani le. It would seem to certainly imply that as far as the Tanakama is concerned, there's no difference in which direction the donkey was taken. Meaning that the Tanakama always finds the owner liable when the king's service took away the confiscated donkey, even if the animal was taken in the right direction, meaning from the renter's perspective, that's the route that he was traveling on and that's the way he was going. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is that from Shmuel's perspective, it makes sense that according to the Tanakhama the Braisa, Shmuel should accept the Tanakhama the Braisa. And in most of the cases, and according to most of the opinions, animal is not being taken down the same route that the socher, the renter, was intending to go, and therefore it would seem that this consideration that the animal is going down the same path, is being dragged by the confiscators in the same path, is not enough to exonerate the maskir, the owner of the animal, from his responsibility vis-a-vis the renter. And that's why the Gemara says that Hamidik Tani Seifa, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer in Bederech Alichas and Nitla Omer Lo Arishal Chol Fenech Vivlav Chayv Lo Lahamod Lahamid Lo Chamor Michal De La Tanakama Lo Shani Le, that the Tanakama makes an absolute rule that no matter which direction it's going, and this is the general rule of ruling of most of the Tanoim against Rav Shimon Elazar, then nevertheless the Balabayas has to replace this animal. Amalei Shmuel, Amal Chashmuel, Lav Mi'ika Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Dekoi Kavasi. You cannot tell me that my position is rejected by all the Chachamim. At least Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar reflects my position. I know the Amri, I indeed accept the Psak of Kirabi Shimon ben Elazar. And that means that it really depends upon which direction the animal is being taken. Ebois Ema, the Gemara answers in a different way for Shmuel. Kula Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. The Braisa, both in the Reisha and the Sefer, is reflects the authorship of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Chisuri Metzer of Ahakitani, but we have to add a few words to the Braisa. Hasokres hachamar vihivrika o nishtates omerlo hareishal cholufanecha. Mesa Oshanas Isangaria Chayav Lahamid Lo Chamar Mamedvar Mamurim Kishalo Bederach Alichasa Nitla Avalim Nitla Bederach Alichasa Omer Lo Hare Shalcha Lifanecha Divrei Rab Shimon Ben Elazar, on the top of Ayin Tez Shalai Rab Shimon Elazar Omer In Bederach Hilucha Nitla Omer Lo Hare Shalcha Lifanecha Vim Lav is Chayav Lahamid Lo Chamor. So basically, according to this Chisuri Mechzera, what we're saying is that if the animal was taken as Angaria, it's like the case of Mesa, or for that matter, Shvura, and the animal, the responsibility to replace this animal is full square on the shoulders of the Maskir. But this only applies when it's Shaloba Derech Halichasa. The animal is being taken in the opposite direction. He, the renter, rented it to go north, and the soldiers are taking the animal south. But if nitla b'derech halichasa, but if it's, or they're all going in the same direction, right, you know, north or south, east or west, then the law is hareishal chalfanecha. The maskir has a right to say to the socher, it's your problem, not mine. I don't have to pay you any extra rental fees. So the Gemara right away asks, "Umi matzis mukmis la kirab shimen alazar?" How can you possibly say that by adding the chisuri machzera, the entire brisa reflects the shita of shimen alazar? Vaktani bereisha, it says in the reisha of the brisa, "Hasokas achamar vivrika o nishenish tatisa omer lo areishal chalfanecha." Whereas Ilu Rab Shimon ben Elazar Omar Hasokas achamar lirkov oleha. Vihivrika Oshadis Nish Tatisa Chayav Lahamid Lo Chamor, which clearly means that the Resha is a reflection of the Shita of the Chachamim, whereas the Resha quotes from Shimon ben Elazar as a dissenting view. That Asokha Sachamor Lirkol Olav, etc., Chayav Lahamid Lo Chamor. So it's very difficult here to assume that the Sefer Since the Reisha is against Rav Shimon Elazar, meaning the Reisha reflects the Shitas Chachamim that are Reisha Chalof Anecha, whereas Rav Shimon Elazar is of the opinion that the renter has rights to demand a replacement for this partially blind chamor, or for this animal that became so wild. In these cases, it seems that Rav Shimon Elazar is the das yachid. He's the odd man out. So how can you tell me that the entire brisa reflects the shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna lirchov oleha shiny. Perhaps we could say that riding on a donkey, in other words, if you rent a donkey to ride on it, that's a little bit different. And in such cases, enochinami, it's very dangerous if the animal is not in perfect shape. It could fall, Rashi says, off a bridge. It could stumble, and it could even be dangerous to the rider. So in this case, when the renter specified that he needs the animal for his personal transportation, in that case, he can be mechayev the Baal HaBayis to give him a perfectly healthy animal, provide him with a donkey that doesn't jeopardize the safety of the rider. In the case of an animal that's used for transporting not human beings, but rather merchandise, there the Baal HaBayis is entitled to say, look, Hareshal Chalfanecha, take this donkey in its present condition, and then you have to work with it, guide it along the road. It's your ill fortune, it's Mazel Chagaram that the animal became disabled. That's as far as transporting goods are concerned. Amar Rav Papa, who clays chuchis, killer chov oleha dummy. That if what was rented here were glass vessels, which are very fragile, then that has the same halacha as renting a donkey in order to ride on it. It means you need a very solid animal that's not going to fall, that's not going to waver, it's not partially blind, it's not crazy. And therefore, if the cargo itself that's being transported is something that's so fragile and so sensitive, like gold dishes, then everybody agrees that the animal that's provided for in the rental agreement must be a perfectly healthy animal, not a disabled animal that gets to park in a disabled spot. Now let's just see if we can start now. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, I think we'll start this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, and we'll stop here. We covered most of what we had in mind for today. We'll finish it up Bli Neder in the next shiur. Thank you.